On the phone with me once again this morning is 19th District Senator Jeff Wilson. Good morning, Senator, and welcome back.
Oh, good morning, Kyle. Thank you for having me today.
We're about the halfway mark at the legislative session in, I guess, more than the halfway mark. Where are we? We're coming up to about halfway. We're getting into the meat and potatoes of the legislative session in Olympia. And we're approaching that time when the kind of normal bills, standard bills, and change bills need to be kind of coming out of committee. And I was just looking on the state website, and a lot of the bills, you've got 19 total bills that have been introduced so far, and a lot of them are getting movement and getting into and getting second readings and out of committee. So that looks good for your slate of bills this season.
Absolutely, Kyle. It may be a long session, a 105-day session, but that technically just gives us more time to get more work done. And at least that's my opinion. And it's all time sensitive. There's no such thing as procrastination if you want to be successful here in Olympia. You do have a deadline when we're going to adjourn. Between now and then, it is that time, the only time, to get the needs of the 19th District represented in committee, get them out, and get those bills off onto the floor. And I'm having a very busy year with a multi-diverse type of legislation that I've dropped. It ranges from all the way from naming the state the Evergreen as the official nickname to freight and railroad infrastructure bills that will provide jobs, especially support those in Grays Harbor area.
And speaking on the rail transport, of course, that's been a growing topic. I mean, it's been a topic for I don't know, 100 years or so. But over the last 20, 30 years, I would say that the rail lines have kind of been taken out in a lot of places with the Rails to Trails project in Pacific County, Raymond area, Aberdeen, both of them kind of losing some of that rail access. Now, as we're seeing more and more activity at Port of Grays Harbor, and I imagine ports down lower into the 19th, that need for rail infrastructure is growing. So, I mean, getting an opportunity to make some of that railroad infrastructure better and expand it a little bit is needed across the state.
Absolutely, Kyle. My Senate Bill 5494, it shores up the opportunity for short lines, for port railroads, for Class 2 and 3 railroads to make improvements, because you're right, we don't have a lot of rail lines left in the 19th District. There's really just two, and they both kind of serve the communities to say Cowlitz County and Grays Harbor. In Grays Harbor in particular, there is large expansion plans on the books there at the port. These are great investments, but we do need to shore this up with upgraded rail, and rail that's, well, safer as well. Today's rail cars it could be as much as 286,000 pounds a car. You need a certain type of rail to support that, and you need to move trains at a decent speed. Let's face it, Kyle, you don't want your trains to be blocking the crossing when you're trying to get someplace. And overall, Aberdeen, and especially that area, has a rail separation need, a grade separation project, which is still basically one of my top priorities to get funded so that we can begin that project. I don't know when, but I continue to put in and to support the finances that hopefully will get that project done someday, make traffic flow all around the Grays Harbor area much better.
When we're talking about kind of flowing traffic and moving things, another bill, we've talked about you talked to you for years about catalytic converters and the issues facing them throughout the state. You've got a bill in this session that would address this even further. And while we've talked about it for quite a while, it feels as if this is actually really getting some momentum.
Yeah, Kyle, this will be the last bill that I will present and drop this legislative session. And the reason is we have to do more. Our attempts when I started this 2 years ago You know, the legislation that I originally created got kind of watered down, the penalties and the system. And in fact, even last year, we forgot to fund local police agencies for training, support, sting operations. And so that's another thing that I have presented this year is a budget proviso to make that check good. We had promised that funding, but for some reason, it didn't appear. So this year, I'm not going to take any opportunities to miss the money express and to get that funded down to the lower level, our lower police departments, to get out there and do more on really kind of catching and dealing with people that steal catalytic converters. We are still number one in the United States of America for catalytic converter theft. It victimizes everybody. It is an awful, awful inconvenience and crime, and I think we need to do more about it. So I'll also present that final bill, which will require licensing to be displayed. And so you just won't be able to buy a converter from, say, anybody. You're going to have a valid dealer's license in order to even purchase one of these. No more parking lot transactions, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody is buying a catalytic converter in a parking lot and not thinking there's red flags abound, then you're gonna, that's difficult. But the problem is still occurring all across the state, and so that makes sense. You'd mentioned that one of them is going to be dropped as a budget proviso. That was a topic that I was going to talk to you about, that we're getting to that point where things get out of committee. But then it gets into kind of the second half a little bit, where the bills that would be introduced have to have some sort of connection to the budget. I mean, kind of necessary to implement the budget. That is going to bring in a lot of bills that are like yours, looking for funding specifically, something that's already in place. But other ones are going to try to sneak in and get some different rules. And this is really where things get really interesting as we get into the budgets, which is the prime goal of the legislature, I'd say. When you're looking at some of the budgets and some of the priorities, when we get to that part, what are some things that you feel should be first and foremost?
Well, you know, Kyle, this is the very, it is complex portion of the long session where we play with those budgets. And I don't mean play as in having fun. We have to maneuver between capital budgets, transportation budgets, and of course, operating budgets. And what we do now is to get in line to basically get our request in for not only, say, a capital project, but to fund important bills. Like you just mentioned, the catalytic converter issue. It takes money to implement some of these programs. And, you know, we all know that there's not an endless pot of money. And the government is already big, so we are on a budget. Yet now we're at the point of really kind of prioritizing and getting through who's going to get the funding. And it's complicated, of course, because there's a governor's budget as well. So as we get through this on the Senate side, we will also we're aware that the House also has their budget process. But either way, Kyle, this is now the portion of the year where the funding money meets the legislative road. And cut off for bills in my side in through committee is on the 17th of February. So we're just days away from you're not going to get a bill in and get it heard unless it's necessary to implement the budget. So there is a last minute rush for that. But then, as you said, we will start deciphering down those bills that may set policies or otherwise that require funding. It's going to get tricky, and I wish we had the biggest checkbook on the planet, but we don't.
And without adding costs to residents, I mean, trying to lessen the burden to residents, without adding some new taxes for some things, there's only so much budget to use. Of course, housing is going to be a top priority. What that means and how those funds are going to be used, if the state's just going to become a housing authority at some point, or how this is going to happen, that's undetermined. But I'm assuming that is going to be first and kind of foremost in a lot of people's minds.
Absolutely, Kyle. The word housing, you have not heard. You have not heard this year unless you put the word crisis somewhere in that sentence. Okay, we have a housing crisis, but we don't need to make it worse. And what I'm telling you is we do need to remedy. We all know we're short housing in all kinds of forms, but we've got to be careful with the word affordable. And I'll offer up to your listeners today, the governor has provided a projected $4 billion, let's say, housing spending. And it is going to require, of course, a referendum so the people get a vote on this. Thank goodness for that. But we're talking about spending $4 billion. We have to change the constitutionality in raising our state's debt limit. It's like getting a very big credit card. I'm grateful it's going to the voters to decide, because we've never seen something like this. We know we have a need, but this bill, of course, certainly won't. It may dent some of the housing crisis, but will it truly be successful? Let's leave that to the voters. But meantime, I'm focused in on my own representation of the 19 with my Senate Bill 5657, kit homes. And my kit home bill, you talk about affordable houses. My kit home bills, we're talking about buying a kit home, Kyle, from $9,000 on up. That's affordable housing. That's factory built. You assemble yourself or with a contractor, but you assemble in the field. We've got to find affordable ways. I think my kit home bill is probably a wonderful offering to the many choices we need to offer some remedies to the housing crisis. I'm certainly going to brag about it and say it's probably by far the most affordable option I've seen this year.
And it is being put out as a bipartisan effort, multiple people co-sponsoring this. This has gotten its first reading in the state government and elections, which, unless I'm mistaken, you're ranking member on, correct?
Absolutely. I'm proud to be ranking member for my third year in a row on state government elections. This is a bill that was assigned to that committee. And I have others that come through that committee, but this one really is truly different, Kyle, compared to all the other rants and raves about government and regulations and taxes and how to build a house. Even Oregon is doing already. They have ledges. They're acting on what I'm proposing. They're building wooden kit homes as fast as they can. Of course, these are factory built. But really what it says is these are smaller homes, but they go up quickly. This is something that you can begin to do, say, as soon as the factory gears up. Henry Ford would be proud of my bill, because we do need to mass produce quality homes, but we need to do it at an affordable level. Quit talking about it. Not everybody can start out with a $300,000 or $400,000 starter home. I'll offer that the 19th district needs to be much more cost effective and more frugal with the dollars. Rather than to jump into things like that we may not be able to afford.
Looking at that kind of frugality and where the money is going and who's watching that, that's all going to be coming up in the second half of the legislative session. That is going to be going until April, and the 105-day session just rolling right along. We'll keep watching your bills and look forward to seeing anything comes in as far as a proviso or otherwise, but we'll keep watching them and keep seeing what that means for 19th District residents. So thank you again, Senator Jeff Wilson, for joining us this morning here on KXRO.
Thank you. I appreciate it as always. Have a wonderful day.